After our little hiatus there, we'll call the Government Operations Committee to order. Clerk will take the roll. And we have one bill on their agenda today, and for everyone's knowledge, there was a slight problem with the minutes. They weren't quite accurately typed, so we're going to approve those at a later date for yesterday's meeting. So, and with that, we'll call up House File 191. Senate File. I'm looking at the wrong thing. House File 279. And Representative Simon is the author, and you're not on the committee, are you? So, Representative Winkler, would you like to move the bill?
Where would you like it moved?
To the floor.
Okay. Mr. Chair,
That's right. Needs to go to State Government Finance.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that House File 279 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on State Government Finance.
And Representative Simon, welcome to the committee, and would you please explain your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's good to be back. I missed this committee. This bill, House File 279, is really an organizational tool, an organizational bill. Has to do with audit functions. There are two particular audit functions that are now under the purview of the state auditor, which probably ought to be under the purview of the legislative auditor. And this is by agreement of both people who hold those posts, both our elected state auditor, Rebecca Otto, who's here to answer any questions, and also the legislative auditor, Jim Nobles. Both agree that this is a better use of both agencies and offices' time, considering the fact that the state auditor does local audits and the legislative auditor tends at least to do audits of state-related programs. So this pertains to both the Job Z program, and after we put what I hope will be the non-controversial DE2 amendment on, it will include both Job Z and the Dairy Research, Teaching, and Consumer Education Authority piece. And so with that, if someone could move the DE2 amendment, Mr. Chair, that would accomplish both of those.
Representative Winkler, would you?
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the DE2 amendment.
And thank you. And members, that does just what I described. It just moves them from underneath one roof to underneath another roof. And again, both the legislative auditor, Mr. Nobles, and our state auditor, Rebecca Otto, are here to answer any questions or to comment if need be.
Are there any questions of the testifier? Representative Kahn.
I'm not sure if this is to the testifier or to the committee, but one of the things I've been thinking about when we do extra, and this was obviously done a while ago, when we do extra programs like Job Z or the other thing, is that the realization that we're putting more work on the state to get a competent audit done, we're doing more work on the state auditor or the legislative auditor. And I would like us to, whenever we do this, and this is possibly more for state government finance than for this, is to take a proportion of the subsidy that we're putting, of the appropriation that we're putting in for each of these, and also set that aside for, you might just call it indirect costs, and it might be for audit expenses, it might be for other expenses in the executive, for the information management expenses of those programs and so forth. I'm not proposing an amendment to do that today. I'm just putting that out as a proposal. And maybe it's something that should be done kind of uniformly in state government finance.
Thank you. Representative Kahn. Representative Pepin. Mm-hmm. Hands.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Simon, I'm just kind of curious, who requested this? I'm not sure what the change was. Was it the auditor, the state auditor? Was it the legislative auditor? Who requested this legislation?
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Pepin. You know, I might have one or both of the principals come up and talk about that rather than me speak for them. Maybe they can decide how that, to tell you how that conversation went.
Come on down. Welcome to our committee, Auditor Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm Rebecca Otto, the state auditor. This is something that I've attempted to get through before. And when we were given Job Z, was before I arrived, Job Z was administered more at the local level, so it was appropriate that we were given that program. When there was talk about overhauling the program around the legislature, deed and I think revenue worked on kind of doing some internal overhauling of the program. When they did, it's really more administered now by a state agency by deed. And so there's no longer that local component for us. And so it's more appropriate for the legislative auditor to do it because he does state agencies, and we do really those local governments. And so to me, it's kind of just a technical change. And the amendment's not on yet, so then I won't talk about that, right? Okay.
Well, you can talk about the amendment. We haven't voted on it, but you can talk about
it. Should I talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then there, Representative Pepin, if this helps you too, there's a Dairy Research, Teaching, and Consumer Education Authority that was established, and I believe it was, in 2012. My staff found it. We never knew about it, and I don't know that Mr. Nobles knew about it, but I'm not sure. I can't speak for him. But it appears to be more of a state government thing because I think there's Ag, U of M, and those are more his areas than ours. And so, again, this just seems like a logical one to transfer to him, and we had a conversation, and I will let him testify for his support of the amendments. But it's we try to respect each other's jurisdiction, I guess. And so whenever we get things coming into the office, if we determine it's more state, we will refer to him. Sometimes he refers stuff to us that's come to him that's really ours. So it's just the way we work together to make sure we're covering the areas we're supposed to.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Auditor Otto, I think I would like to have Mr. Noble come up in a minute. I was looking at your site, and I noticed that you had a far more audits, several pages of audits in 2011 than 2012. You had about 3.5 pages. Well, four, several pages of audits from 2011 and just a small half a page in 2012. And so I'm just kind of curious why the number of audits is considerably smaller than it was in the past.
Mr. Nobles, or Representative Otto, is that for Otto or for Mr. Nobles?
Otto, that was okay. For Auditor
you.
Otto.
Mr.
Auditor.
Chair, I'm sorry, Representative Pepin, I'm not sure what list you're looking at.
It's just your state auditor report by year that was on the website.
Got it. Perfect. Okay.
Here's the 2012 and
Auditor Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, now I know what you're talking about, Representative Pepin. So when you look at our website, if you're looking at our audit reports, those 2012s are for calendar year 2012 data. And so that's what we've been working on. So the 11s are done. The 12s are now being done. So that list will continue to grow as the year goes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you. And I think I would have a question for Mr. Nobles, though. And my question to him would be, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
My question would just be, Representative Simon mentioned that this was an agreement between the two of you, but I thought Representative Kahn made a good point, and I'm just wondering about the cost. It seems like we're asking you to do a lot, and this is another audit we're asking your area to take care of, and I'm just wondering if you could just confirm for me that you've got the money to be able to do that.
Sure. Mr. Nobles.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Pepin, thank you. Let me give you just a quick context of the office. We have jurisdiction for every organization program within the executive branch and the judicial branch. Within the executive branch, there are roughly 180 different units, from the governor, Department of Transportation, down to boards and commissions. There are lots of organizations within the judicial branch. We also audit three metropolitan organizations, including the Sports Authority. This is nothing new that we have a lot more potential audits than we have staff. And so we use our resources as strategically as we can. We try to judge where the greatest risks are and deploy our resources in that way. Generally speaking, when there has been a bill to give us additional audit responsibility, I have not asked for more money. On fiscal notes, we say that we will take this responsibility and prioritize our work. But this year, I will be visiting with the Finance Committee about the accumulation of new responsibilities that have not been funded. And so we'll work that out with the Finance Committee. I have always tried to be respectful, frankly, of the difficult financial situation that the state has and that you as a legislature has in making those resources stretch across a lot of different programs and priorities. And so it's been, again, my practice not to ask for additional resources, even to go back and cover the cuts that we have incurred during the leaner times. But responsibilities have accumulated. We, for example, had a lot of additional work to do because of the passage of the Legacy Amendment. And we're doing a lot of audit work in that area. But we accommodate those new responsibilities, frankly, by lessening our work in other areas. For example, we don't really do any more audit work except on a very exception ad hoc basis at the University of Minnesota or at Minsku, because we have really tried to focus on the core of state government and particularly where we think there may be internal audit work. So it is simply to try to give you a shorter answer to your question. It's just a matter of us using our resources strategically and prioritizing. But I will discuss this with the Finance Committee because we have had the accumulation of a lot of responsibilities, and frankly, there's a bill being considered now, the Minnesota Insurance Marketplace, that will give us a lot of new responsibility and very serious responsibility. So we'll visit with the Finance Committee about that.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Nobles, do you have, I'm just trying to get a sense of how many to do this audit. Do you know how many staff, how long it would take? I'm just trying to get a sense of about how much money that might be. I understand that you can absorb the cost and things like that and reprioritize, but I'm just trying to get a sense for how long something like this would take and how much it might cost.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pepin, members, I would really want to sit down and do an analysis, and I can certainly do that. We're talking about the dairy or the Job Z?
Both.
Okay. The dairy, as I understand that organization, it's a pretty small organization. It would probably be a few hundred hours of audit work. And it will depend on how large a sample we, and both how broad and how deep we go in any of these audits. One of the things you probably expect, but just to emphasize that for us, when we have any audit assignment, we sit down and develop a work plan, a very detailed work plan that sketches out exactly what the objectives are going to be, a day-to-day schedule for how our employees are going to be deployed, how long it's going to take, how many hours, what our methodologies are going to be. I haven't done that for these new assignments, but I can probably sketch it out for you. Auditor Otto may have done some work in the Job Z area and may have some experience with what that requires. But I would add, just so you know the context, back in 2008, we did a fairly extensive evaluation of Job Z. And I think it's another reason, in addition to the ones that Rebecca Otto mentioned, that this really is state money used as, you know, tax credits for local units of government, but still, it really resides at the state level indeed. And we did an evaluation, so we're quite knowledgeable about Job Z, and so I think we have the skill and the expertise to do the audit work that's being asked of us.
Auditor Otto, you had a...
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to mention for the group, when this Dairy Research Council was formed, it specifically says the board shall provide for and pay the cost of an independent annual audit of its official books and records. So if they are paying, there shouldn't be a fiscal issue with this Dairy Council. I also wanted to point out that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Job Z sunsets in 2015. So it might not be a going concern. It may be, but to me, it's important to make sure that you have somebody who can respond appropriately, and because it's administered by a state agency, if something came up, Mr. Nobles, like you said, he could probably do it anyway, but I just want to make sure that it's in the proper place. So that might help as well with this whole fiscal question of how things are funded. So.
Representative Simon.
Mr. Chair, to Representative Pepin's point about resources, which is a fair one, who's going to pay for all this? I should have mentioned in my initial presentation on line 1.12 of the DD2 amendment, that language was changed to say, or would be changed if you were to adopt the amendment, as resources allow. So as not to bind the legislative auditor into a mandatory annual audit. I think leaving that to his discretion, and left unsaid, is leaving it to the discretion somewhat of the Legislative Audit Commission, too, which always has the authority to work with the legislative auditor to task him and his office with particular audits or inquiries. So that's why that language is in there, so it's not defined in its annual outlay.
And Representative Hansen, I think, Representative Pepin, are you?
Yeah, I just have one more. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for indulging me. And thank you, Representative Simon. It's so great to see you here on government operations. It was always fun to have you on committee. But I guess just for the point of the cost, what I was kind of getting at was I'm trying to understand how much staff time it would take, because if he needs more resources to do the job, then would Auditor Otto need less resources? And I mean, maybe you could comment on that. It doesn't seem like it's a huge amount of extra work, but I'm just trying to get a sense for that.
Auditor Otto.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin. There was an appropriation with this, and it goes away.
Okay.
That answers your question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hansen, I believe you're going to touch on what Representative Simon just talked about.
Well, I was going to touch on the kind of comparing from a previous discussion in earlier committees that what this bill does is it's not directing the legislative auditor to do a specific thing or task, but it's transferring authority and being specific about the authority that gives the auditor, legislative auditor, the ability to do things. So I think we'll keep having those discussions, and where we've been resistant in the past is directing the legislative auditor to do a specific task. But this is transferring authority, and it appears that both auditors, legislative and state, have worked this out.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Dill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. This isn't specifically on the Simon bill, but in this scope of pressure on the auditor's office, we had a long and grueling debate on the healthcare exchange, and you mentioned the healthcare exchange. I don't remember. Was there a provision in the healthcare exchange bill to pay for audits and things like that, that the state, that Representative Otto or Auditor Otto's office would take care of? I just don't remember that. Who can answer that question?
Representative Dill, I was just whispered in my ear that there was an amendment to that effect, but I don't believe that amendment went on in this committee.
So,
Representative Dill.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just
Mr. O'Noble
respond to that. The marketplace, the insurance exchange, would be under the jurisdiction of the legislative auditor. And again, you know, I just signed off on the fiscal note for that. And I'm not at this point requesting additional resources. I don't really think it's necessarily a good idea to do that on a, you know, bill by bill. I think the best thing for me to do is to go to the Finance Committee and give them an overview of our responsibilities and get a sense of legislative priorities and then use our resources strategically. But Representative Dill, the insurance exchange will be under the jurisdiction of the legislative auditor. Frankly, it'll be there whether that bill says so or not. Our existing authority and statute is quite broad, covers anything that is in the executive branch, judicial branch. So, and we will take that very seriously. I know that there are some concerns, particularly about data security. I have within my office a team of specialists who do nothing but IT security work. So as soon as that system is up and running, we'll be there to do audit work. We do a lot of IT security audit work throughout state government with the team that we have. Very complex work. It takes a good deal of specialized skill and training, and that's why we have that team.
Thank you, Mr. Nobles. Any further questions? Representative Winkler.
And Mr. Chair, this is to the DE2. It's for Mr. Nobles. This language that says, as resources allow, the auditor must. My understanding is that you sort of read that into your authority already in the rest of your statutory obligations when you spread your resources as you can and do what you can to target the most highest priority areas. So I'm wondering if this language is helpful or if it's throughout the statute, or maybe it's better not said in one place lest it be.
Mr. Nobles.
Mr. Chairman, I think it is helpful, Representative Winkler, that whenever we are asked to do work, specifically that as resources allow, it's helpful. It is language that exists in our general statute. We do have a few mandated audits. For example, we are mandated under current law to audit the state's financial statements every year, and that takes up a significant amount of our resources. I might want to talk to you at some point about inserting the language as resources allow for that as well.
Auditor Otto.
Mr. Chair, if I could add as well, we do the same thing in our office. We prioritize. And as we have less and less resources, you have to decide what the absolute most critical things are. I think for both of us, you have a certain amount of staff, you have a certain amount of work. Sometimes work gets added. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's not funding. And so you do your very, very best to make sure that you're hitting the most important things. And usually something, you're not going to be able to do everything. So that's just kind of how I think government's working right now, is people are prioritizing and trying to get the most critical work done.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Nobles, we had discussion about this. These seem to be rather, and Representative Hansen may have stepped out, but rather specific tasks. And we had discussion a week or so ago about the health insurance exchange, and we're looking at ways to actually add some audit accountability into that, realizing it greatly lacks that, or lacked it when it left this committee. And there was debate within this committee about whether or not it's normal within the purview of your agency or your organization to have specific audit assignments that you do regularly, and then maybe a second tier question that would be whether you do those types of assignments outside or maybe on the periphery of the executive board or executive branch, excuse me, similar to at least with the health insurance exchange, it was being described as something that's not necessarily inside the executive branch, but it's on the periphery of it. And so I'm wondering if, as a secondary part of the question, whether you audit activities like that. And then the first part of the question is, these seem to be rather specific assignments to your agency. Are there other types of specific assignments like that you also do?
Mr. Noble.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, it's a mix. We have our statute in Chapter 3, which gives us broad authority and responsibility, to audit virtually anything and everything within the executive branch, the judicial branch, a lot of other organizations as well, the University of Minnesota, MNSCU, a number of what are often referred to as quasi-organizations. Specific to your question about the marketplace or insurance exchange, I certainly consider it to be under our jurisdiction. I don't think there's any question about that, given our general authority. But oftentimes, legislators want to make sure that everybody understands that the legislative auditor is going to do the audit work. And so you put in a very specific language. I think that the author of the bill for the insurance exchange actually has a little provision that says the exchange will be subject to the jurisdiction of the legislative auditor. So it's a mix. We have both very specific assignments in a few places, and then we have this generic, very broad jurisdiction and responsibility. So by one means or another, we do the work.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, are we in the DE2 yet or not? Or can we talk to that one?
We've been talking to the DE2 amendment. We probably should take a vote on that. I slipped up there. So all in favor of the DE2 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. So we're on the DE2 amendment.
Mr. Chair, this would be for the author of the bill and then also Mr. Nobles. On lines 1.21 through 1.22, we say that all public officials and parties to the agreement shall provide the legislative auditor with all documents and data the legislative auditor deems necessary. Now, does that mean that all of these businesses that are in Job Z zones, that the legislative auditor is going to have access to all of their books as well? I guess I'm curious about the intent of the language there, and then maybe from Mr. Nobles, what his interpretation would be.
Mr. Nobles?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Drazkowski, we would have access only to the degree that it affects the agreement. So of long standing, the legislative auditor has the authority to track state money, public money, into both public and private organizations. But that doesn't mean, for example, if there is an arrangement between the state and 3M, that we audit 3M's books. We would only audit the specific transaction. So we would be able to audit both sides of the Job Z transaction, but not to audit beyond that. And again, this is language, and it kind of goes to your earlier point. You know, there's specific language in this bill, but there is general language going back decades in statute giving the legislative auditor the authority that is referenced in the 3.978 subdivision 2 that I think you see there in the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, it's a paragraph. I can read that to you.
Why don't you do that, Mr. Nobles? And then
all public officials and their deputies and employees and all corporations, firms, and individuals having business involving the receipt, disbursement, or custody of public funds shall at all times afford reasonable facilities for examination by the legislative auditor, make returns and reports required by the legislative auditor, attend and answer under oath the legislative auditor's lawful inquiries, produce and exhibit all books, accounts, documents, data of any classification and property that the legislative auditor may need to inspect, and in all things aid the legislative auditor in the performance of his duties.
And Rebecca, Auditor Otto, is this any different, this language, than what is already in current law that you do when you were doing these audits on the Job Zs, the 1.120 to 1.23?
Mr. Chair, generally, well, we had to get special language to allow us to get certain data from Department of Revenue because that's pretty protected. We didn't ask for any of that data because of the way the program was structured. I don't want to get into too much detail, but the contracts weren't enforceable that were originally used, and that's why Deed overhauled that whole thing and created a contract that was enforceable. But long and short of it, typically for my office, when we're doing an audit, again, you stay in the area that you're looking at. So if it's around a contract, you get the contractual language. You might get any documentation around it, but normally you're not digging into anything else because I think you can get into trouble for that. You know, you don't want problems. When we handle data, let's say, and it's non-public, we keep it non-public. So, you know, usually that stuff is protected. You're not going out and sharing it with others necessarily. So we're very careful with that in my office. And I think Mr. Nobles is representing it fairly well. You get the documentation you need to test to see if something's right or wrong, if that makes sense. So, no, he wouldn't go in and audit 3M's books. It would be more around whatever, you know, probably the business subsidy agreement, if that's what it was, if that makes sense. I think there were some wage requirements, and so sometimes revenue has some information that nobody else has. And so we had access to that. We have to make sure that that goes to you. But anyway, long and the short of it, typically we get documents that can even be non-public that we use to do our work. So,
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further question? Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, I just wondered if there was any need for any of the other amendments.
Representative Winkler, no, the DE2 amendment combines, is a combination of the other two, so we're doing the DE2 amendment. Any other questions? Anybody from the audience that needs to speak for or against this bill? If not, Representative Winkler renews his motion that House File 279, as amended, be passed, and because of the amendment, it does not need to go to state government finance. It can go directly to the floor. So that'll be the motion to send it to the floor. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. The bill's approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Simon. And with that, nothing up is before us, and we were told that the reason why we had our entertainment this morning was that because this room was being used as an overflow room yesterday for the public safety, that's why we got the feed and then the public safety, beginning of the public safety meeting, so that's why we had the feed. So that's what went on this morning, and the good music was good, but with that, we are adjourned.